Having left the chapel and got out into the fields, I began to think over what they had said and to question myself whether they might not be in the right. And all they said, very true. There are some of them, thought I, old Christians, and have been many years in the ways of God. They must certainly, said I, know better than such a young fool as I. Yet surely it cannot be all deception. Can I be deceived in losing my burden and feeling the pardon of all my sins? Lord, I am not deceived, am I? I fell upon my knees under the hedge and cried out to the Lord, Am I deceived, Lord? Am I too secure? Is it wildfire, Lord? And the dear Lord broke in upon my soul with such divine glory and such a succession of promises that the Bible appeared to me to be nothing but promises from beginning to end, and all mine all appearing to be made especially to me and to none else. I had such a view, too, of the faithfulness and glory of God in his fulfillment of them, from first to last to my poor soul, that I was completely overwhelmed with transports of heavenly joy, and for a time scarcely knew whether I was in the body or out of the body. Upon arising from the ground, it struck me that it was the very place in which the devil had often tempted me to put an end to my life. And oh, how I did dance and sing and banter the lying devil, and dare him to come out of his den. I challenged him to his face and told him if he did not come out, he durst not. I called him everything but a gentleman. I was so happy and comfortable that I felt as if I could walk through troops of devils, shouting, In the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Oh, how I wondered at the goodness of the Lord to one so unworthy of the least of his mercies. If this, cried I, be wildfire, let me have more of it. If this is being too secure, let me live and die in it. My God and my Savior, thou art my portion, my rock, my hiding place, my friend, my dear Redeemer. O my dear, dear, dear Jesus, thou art the chief of 10,000, the altogether lovely. How I got home, I know not. For with shouting, praising, thanking, and blessing the Lord, it was morning before I arrived there. The next time I met the same people, I began after the prayer meeting to tell them of my journey home the last meeting night, and how I had knelt down in the field and asked the Lord whether I was too secure, whether I was deceived, and whether it was all wildfire. I told them how the Lord had answered my prayers, and had come into my soul with such glory, that he had showed me that all the promises of the Bible were mine, and that I was as sure and as confident of being a child of God, and of having had all my sins forgiven me, and that I should go to heaven, as I was that there was a God. For I insisted on it that he himself had told me so, and with tears of joy in my eyes I assured them that even at the moment I was speaking, I felt the pardoning blood of my dear Jesus in my soul, and was confident that I had been delivered from the curse of the law, that the law had nothing to do with me now, for Christ had obeyed all its demands for me. I told them that I felt in my very soul that the law which had cursed me in my coming in and in my going out, in my lying down and my rising up, which had been so great a terror to my poor soul, that I dreaded God as my worst enemy, was now removed from over me. For I could now love God, love his law, delight in it, and delight to see it honored in my dear Jesus. I said that I had asked the law if it had aught against me, and it had answered with such a smile, Deliver him from going down into the pit, for I have found a ransom, Job 33:24. And these were things, I said, to which I was a living witness. One of them, who professed to be my friend, told me that he was afraid I was turning antinomian. Antinomian, said I? What sort of people are they? I never heard of the name before. They are those, replied he, who deny the moral law to be the believer's rule of life, which is a most awful doctrine and leads to all manner of sin. Moral law, said I, what is that? It is that just and holy law of God, replied he, in which he commands us to love and obey him. What? Asked I. Do you mean that law which Paul meant when he said, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them? Do you take that law to be your rule of life? Asked I. Surely I do, said he, and all those who do not are antinomians. Then, said I am one of those antinomians. Blessed be God, he has delivered me from that law. Christ has obeyed it for me, and has been made a curse for me, and has gone to the end of it for my poor soul. I asked him how he felt that law, what it did for him whilst he was under it, and how he had been delivered from it. Upon this subject he could say nothing, but he maintained that believers were required to be obedient to the law as well as to believe in Christ. But I insisted on it that there was obedience and blessed obedience too in Christ, obedience which did my soul good, which pleased God, honored the law, pardoned all my sins, confounded the devil, and made my soul dance for joy. I told him I would not commit a single sin for 1,000 worlds if I could help it. For it was my meat and drink to do the will of my God and Savior who had done so great things for me. When I was under the law, said I had no obedience, but I was full of anger, rebellion, and wretchedness, and sometimes felt such wrath that I could have pulled the Almighty from his throne for not having made me a beast that had no soul to appear before so holy a God who cannot acquit the guilty. But now, having been delivered from the law and having the love of the Lord Jesus Christ shed abroad in my heart, I can believe in him, obey him, praise him, thank him, and adore him night and day. And I insisted on it, and that I never knew what it was to hate sin, to love God, and to delight in his ways until his pardoning love and blood were enjoyed in my heart. And that I was confident this was not the law, but Christ Jesus, my God and my Savior in my heart, obeying the law in my room instead. But of these things he knew nothing, nor indeed could I meet with any who knew much about the path in which I had been led, and the glorious liberty which I enjoyed. And indeed, how can any man enter into it until it first enter into him? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I wondered that they who have been Christians so long did not see as I saw and feel as I felt. Yet whatever I could say to them of the way in which God had led me, the bondage from which he delivered me, and the love and delight I experienced in his ways, had no effect upon them, except that of making them rage and rave against me, and warned the people to have nothing to do with me. I wondered how it was that they kept at such a distance from me, but I could not keep at a distance from them. At all their prayer meetings and preachings I was sure to be present, being quite impatient for the time to arrive to meet the children of God, and tell them again what great things God had done for my soul. But some of them could not bear to see me there, and one of them told me one night that he wished I would never come amongst them more, as I made nothing but confusion and was a disturber of their peace. He therefore hoped I would come no more. I answered him that I did not come amongst them intending to trouble them, or to throw them into confusion, but that my desire was to praise Jesus and to tell them what great things he had done for my soul, but by suffering in my stead and obeying the law for me, and how precious to me was his blood, and the joy and praise and thanksgiving I felt for his mercy to my poor soul, which lay under the curse of the law, expecting nothing but damnation. And was it not wonderful, said I, that the dear and precious Jesus, bless his dear name, should come to my poor soul and pardon all my sins and obey the law for me? They told me that they feared I was deceived. How can that be, said I? I have his pardon in my heart and very soul. I assured them that I had tried to bring back my sins and to feel the guilt and burden of them again, but in vain. For, said I, such sweet words as these flowed in upon my soul, thy sins are all forgiven thee, Luke 7, verse 48. Though thy sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool, Isaiah 1, 18. I have cast all thy sins behind my back, Isaiah 38, 17. Thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace, Luke 7:50. I assured them that I could not now think of half the precious text of Scripture that my dear and lovely Jesus was speaking to my soul nearly all the day long. And how, said I, can I keep my tongue still? Were I to hold my peace, the very stones would cry out. However, the more I talked of the precious Jesus and the glorious things he had done for my soul, the more they hated and shunned me. Nay, I verily believe that some of them hated me 1,000 times worse than the devil. They told some of the ministers whom I was in the habit of hearing with them that I had turned antinomian and denied the moral law as my rule of life, which made all the professors with whom I was at that time acquainted look upon me for holding such a sentiment as a very dangerous man.